Welcome to the Champions Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this week's message. To learn more about Champions Church, visit godschampions.com.
Pastor Michael Avery, one of our team, I want you to put your hands together, give a shout. He's an amazing guy. Love him as he comes to give the word.
You guys can stay standing real quick. I wouldn't have said yes if I knew I was going to follow directly after Pastor Dwight. I would have said, could you give me another Sunday? Pastor Dwight, love you very much. We're here because of him and his brother, right? 1979 was a good year. It's when I was born. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for bringing each and everyone here today. There's no accidents, and everyone here has been divinely appointed for this moment to hear your word and your truth. I pray that you would open up our hearts to receive your word. Take us deeper than we've ever been before. We give you permission to love us, to father us, and to show your heart to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to move pretty quick because I already know there's some ministry that the Lord wants to do. But first thing, the Lord told me to do this. I've preached a few times, but the Bible talks about giving honor to whom honor's due. And I wouldn't be up here. It's not about being up here, to be transparent. I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for Pastor Nolan and Pastor Kathy. We started coming here. Most of you know this a little over 6 years ago. I sat in the back row. Left, it was all great, and then things changed. And that's because those two have, and to this day, have continued to believe in me. So until the Lord tells me otherwise, I will be honoring them because I'm up here because of them. So thank you guys, love you both. The Lord has a sense of humor, so Pastor Nolan asked me last Sunday to preach, and I had a message. And then Friday morning, I'm at work, and he changed that message on me. Yeah, he does that. So it's a different topic than I had last week, and I've got a few kind of ready and waiting, and this is one of those. Some of this may be familiar. You may say, Michael, I've heard this before. We sing about it, we read about it, but do we fully understand and do we fully know and do we walk this out on a daily basis? Today's message is called Extravagant Love. So whether you've been a Christian for 30 years, 3 years, 3 weeks, whether you've been on a mountaintop, right now maybe you're in a valley, whether you think, again, Michael, I've heard this. I know about God's extravagant love. I believe the Lord changed this for all of us to be transparent, but several in here today is going to be a marking day because of what the Lord's going to do. As sons and daughters, God's love is a game changer. Receiving a deeper revelation of how much the Father loves us takes us to that deeper place. When I read a quote from Chris Dupre, who'll actually be back here in a couple weeks, one of my spiritual fathers and mentors. To know the depth of God's love is our greatest need. To express that love to others is our greatest purpose. My life basically did a 180 when I fully, that's not about to happen, right? When I began to get a glimpse of how much the Father loved me. When I didn't have to strive anymore, I didn't have to perform. Like most of you, my job is performance, right? We have to perform every single day, right? We're graded, we're evaluated on performance. I learned a lot coming up in the church, and some of that, unfortunately, was performance-based as well. And so, we grow up and we hear that God loves us, but it's one thing to hear it, but do we get it into our heart and do we believe it? So when I realized I didn't have to strive, I didn't have to perform, it took all the pressure off myself. At that point, it wasn't as much about me, and I began to what the Lord had given me, release that to others and begin to bless and impart and impact other people because I knew I was loved by Him. We can't bless others unless we first know that we're loved and that we're valued and that we're accepted. As I mentioned, being actively loved by God is different than just knowing He loves us. You may go your whole life, yep, the Lord loves me, the Lord loves me. But if we believe it and know it, we should act differently. We should respond to challenges, to the people around us, to situations differently if we know and it's become our nature that we're loved by God. I said earlier, it's a game changer. So like I said, we're going to go on a brief journey with what the Word of God talks about, His love, and how it practically applies to our lives. Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love how the Lord works. Pastor Nolan didn't have any idea what my message title was this morning. I walk in and see the communion tables. Lord, always up to something. And I'll get into that again in a second. God's love is a free gift. We don't have to strive. We don't have to earn it. Quite frankly, we can't. There's nothing we can do to earn it. It's unconditional. There's no stipulations. We don't need to freshen up to be loved by God. We don't need to look a certain way, have a certain past, have a certain degree, make a certain amount of money. Even in our darkest hour, our darkest day, our lowest moment, God was there. And that's what we demonstrated and took part of this morning. Your darkest moment, your darkest hour, He was there, calling you to Him, showing His extravagant love to you, calling us beloved, sons and daughters. 1 John 4, 9 through 11. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His only one Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We sang about it at the end. We love, and I'll share this again too, because He first loved us. We love out of a response from what He first initiates. We can't on our own love Him anymore. We are adopted sons and daughters. I'm not sure if you guys know this, but every one of you have been chosen. Every single one in this room today. Again, as we celebrated this morning, we have been bought with a price. The body and blood of Jesus. Why? To demonstrate His love. We participated in the most amazing act of love that has ever taken place and will ever take place this morning. God's body, Jesus' body and blood, to demonstrate His love to us, to atone for our sins. Now, because if you remember the end of that scripture, we do have a responsibility to love one another with that same love we receive from God. It's one thing to receive it, but then what do we do with it, right? Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen? This one, you all know, you could say it verbatim with me, John 3:16. For so God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Again, we talked about it. The greatest example we took place today. God giving His one and only Son to bring us in right standing with Him. We have the free gift of salvation, eternity, with the Father because of the sacrifice of the Son. Amen. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Again, another example set by Jesus on the cross. Laying down His life for all mankind. Everybody in this room. How can we exhibit love by practically laying down our life for a friend? Are we going to give up our life? He may not call us to do that, but how can you lay it down every day? Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's a friend that needs you just to listen and to be there. Maybe it's to serve. Serve your friends, serve your family, serve your church. Maybe it's financially to give, to lay down. How does that look for a stranger? Is it any different? Now, obviously, we're closer to our family, our friends, but should we treat strangers? Maybe we met in church for the first time or outside, maybe at Walmart. Should we treat them any different? Do we show them the same love? Heidi Baker talks about this. Will you stop for the one? If we fully have received God's extravagant love, we'll stop for the one to bless them, to pour out, to be the Jesus that they need. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. You guys know this one too. Typically at weddings, we talk about this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always loves, trusts, hopes, perseveres. And we sang this earlier. Love never fails. So God is what? Love. So do you replace love with God? Do we see God as love, as patient, as kind, as not proud? That's his love. He can't change from that. That's who he is. So if you've been taught, if you've grown up, that God's mad at you, that he's not proud of you, that's impossible because God is love. So in that scripture, when you're at the next wedding and it's talking about love is, whether the couple that's getting married or yourself, God is that over you. He is love. He is not angered at you. He's not upset at you. We'll get into that in a second. I don't care what you've done. He's not upset at you. He's not mad at you. Now, for me, I try to speak practically because that's how I like to hear it myself. If we're supposed to demonstrate this love, this is life. We all have these. Maybe it's a disagreement with our spouse or our kids. Maybe our boss. Maybe we didn't receive the recognition or the promotion. Who resonates with this? Maybe you're driving on I-4. Besides my brother Chris, I know there's a lot of us that do that. Yeah. How about in here? What if someone walks by and doesn't say hi to you? What if someone takes your seat? Do we love? Those are some practical things that I know have happened to me. Crystal and I, most of you know, we've hit 20 years a couple months ago. Thank you. Yes. We've had a fair share of arguments. I will say that. I think we fought the very day we got married. There's a picture of a honeymoon. That was not ours. I think Crystal had second thoughts literally the first night. That's okay. Because we made a covenant before the Lord, and that's love. But I think of myself, am I patient with my kids, with my coworkers that drive me crazy, that are late 4 times a week? Am I patient? Am I showing them love? Because that's how the Lord speaks to me, is he makes it very practical with me. Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains may be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. No matter what we face, God's love is for us. That's our North Star. That's our guidance, is his love. To not waver to the left or to the right, no matter what we're talking about, no matter what we're going through, that's our North Star, his love. Unchanging, never moving, always constant. When we're in a storm, his love is the peace. When you're facing that battle, and some of us in this room are, his love is the peace. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Why? Because he's love. Romans 8:39. Neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I really sensed this as I was preparing this on Friday. There's some of you in this room. Let me repeat that. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some of you haven't even been able to receive the revelation because of what your past has looked like. Michael, you don't know what I did last night. You don't know what I did last week. You don't know what I went through when I was growing up. It matters to the Lord. I don't want you to think it doesn't. But he loves you exactly the same. No matter what you've been through, no matter the decisions you've made. You're not too far gone to receive his love, to feel his extravagant love. As I said earlier, not to just know and to be able to say it and raise our hands and sing about it, but when we leave, to feel it. When we're in that disagreement, when we're in that turmoil, do we feel his extravagant love? Because again, we can say all we want, right? Let's be real. We can, in here, we can raise our hands, we can say all the right things, but when we walk out those doors and rubber meets the road, do you believe in your heart of hearts that you're loved? There's people in here that your parents never told you you were loved. Have you held that in your heart? My dad, some of you have heard this, is one of my absolute best friends today. My dad didn't tell me much growing up that he loved me. And honestly, I look back, his dad never told him. He didn't have the framework necessarily. But I'll tell you this. This is just last week alone. I won't give you a huge sample size. My dad texts me, I think it was 6 out of 7 days at 5 a.m., Michael, I love you. That's not in my notes, but that's a word for someone that you're longing for the love of a father, an earthly father. And no matter what it's been like, no matter what the past was, just like with him, our Father, it's not too late. There's reconciliation that's going to take place. But no matter what your youth, no matter what your upbringing, no matter what you did, first time I preached, my life's full of some crazy things, some decisions that I ultimately want back. But I can stand here today and tell you that none of that makes a difference of how much I'm loved. Nothing I say up here this morning is going to make him love me anymore. He cannot love me any more than he does right now. Think about that. If you've got pressure, if you've got weight on your shoulders, think about how much he loves you, and it should remove that, to walk in that. So I want to finish up here, and we're going to show something in a minute. It's a character in the Bible that we don't often speak about. Typically, when we do, it's around Easter. His name is Barabbas. So Barabbas was a sinner, a prisoner, a murderer. And most of you know, he was chosen by the crowd over Jesus to be released by Pilate, which was a customary pardon before the Feast of Passover. He was about as bad as it has, will be, or ever will be. Let's show that video.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah, give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles, and he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father.
When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? You feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match
the powers of hell and the urges of sin will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one, and he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me, say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. And I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
Amen. Let's stand together. In preparing this, there's a couple people I saw, not literal, but we've heard about God's love. Some of us for our whole life. Again, you say you agree. But are we walking it out every day? It's in your head, it's not in your heart. That changes today. I mentioned that you feel like you've gone too far, you've done too much, your past is too big to be loved by God. That changes today. There are some with guilt, shame, condemnation. You've walked in that as your portion. That changes today. Addictions, bondages being broken because of his love. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for us just to not know it, but to believe it, to walk it out every day. And finally, if you're in here and you've come to church before, someone brought you, but you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you've never felt that love, that extravagant love that can transform your life. As Pastor Nolan said earlier, today's your day. If the prayer team could come forward, please. I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's between you and the Lord. All I know is Pastor Dwight, we just celebrated, is 85 years old. He has not received the fullness of how much the Lord loves him. I would love to sit down with hours, and Pastor Dwight could probably tell us all a lifetime of how much the Lord's loved him. But here's the thing, there's more. There's more. So if it was me, I'd want to sign up for the more. Because I said, for me, I'm just an example, but his love, guys, will change everything that you're going through. Everything that you're facing, it's his love. That's why the Lord changed this on me Friday morning. He started with me and just talked about how much he loved me, how much he cares for me. That though work may be hard and this may be difficult, Michael, I love you. And that's never going to change. So if any of those things resonated with you, I don't want you, and this doesn't do anything for me, I don't want you to leave the same. If you're honest, Michael, I don't really feel loved. We say, hey, sister, brother, God loves you. Cool, thanks, man. But you don't feel it. You don't know it. It's not in you. If that's you, please come forward. The Lord's extravagant love is here. Again, the Lord's so kind. We celebrated Jesus' body and blood this morning. It's what it's all about. Don't leave here with an addiction, with guilt, with condemnation, with never feeling the love of a father. Don't leave here the same. There's an opportunity. There's a window. So, Father, I thank you for each and every heart in this room that you've ordained, you've destined to be here today. And I thank you that we're all your favorites, that you love us with such an everlasting love. There's nothing that can separate us from your love. But Lord, right now I pray for that extravagant love to be poured out right now in Jesus' name. Everyone in this room, real quick, just open up your hands, guys, just to receive, real quick. Extravagant love, that it would go past our head, past our mind, and deep to our heart. There would be a connection made, deep calling unto deep this morning, that, Father, we want to feel your love deeper than we ever have before. A new side of you, a different side of you. We give you permission to take over every room of our heart. There's no doors locked. There's nowhere where you can't go. We give it all to you today, Jesus. We don't want to be held back anymore. Bondages, fear, addictions. Your perfect love casts out fear, Lord. So we say today is a day of victory, of breakthrough. Rivers of your extravagant love to pour out right now from the front to the back. That every heart who says yes, you would touch right now. They would feel how important they are to you. How significant they are. Whether they ever do anything for you or not, you are significant and you are important and you matter. So Jesus, I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name.
Michael, just stay reflective and get ready to move, but as I was sitting there and I looked across today and everything that God is saying, and last week, prophetically, Keith Painted didn't know what we were doing and painted about David and Goliath and how that tied in. But today, I want you to see that. Some of you need to take a picture of that. It It's a signet ring. You have the Lion of Judah and you have the Holy Spirit, and Christ is at the center that ties it all together and what Christ paid for. And I wear this ring, got it in Israel, and it says, I am my beloved's and he is mine. It says it in Hebrew. I am my beloved's and he's mine. Some of you, as you step forward today, or if you don't step forward, whatever, but I want you to envision putting on this ring, that ring, because God actually put that ring on you. That ring right there is on your finger right now. You don't see it, but it's there. You are royalty. You carry the authority of Christ. He adopted you. He loves you. And where you go, he goes. And he's going to back you up. He's going to back up your prayer. He's going before you. He makes a way. And you do business for the king. You wear the ring. You wear the ring. You're a signet, blessed child of God. Know how much he loves you. Know who you are. You wear the ring of the Father who made everything. You do business for the king. You do it out of love that he's loved you. So come. I just want you to, before you, some of you already saw, you take a shot. Take that shot. Print it out. Get it in front of your face and remember who you are. Remember who you are and how much he loves you. He put his ring on your finger. Amen. Amen. So come. God bless you as you go.
Thanks for listening to Champions Church Sermon of the Week. Be sure to subscribe for more content each week. If you'd like to learn how you can partner with us, visit godschampions.com.